This program is made possible by the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I want you to take some time after this program and really do a deep dive and think about how you feel about yourself. What is your attitude toward yourself? Are you holding things against yourself from a long time ago? Today is a day to make a fresh start. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt. Well, thank you for joining me today on Enjoying Everyday Life, where I'm going to talk to you about a subject that I think is very important for all of us, and for some of you, it may be a life-changing subject. I want to talk to you about making a fresh start at how you feel about yourself or how you see yourself. You know, if we could just see ourselves the way God sees us, our lives would be so much better. And you know, God wants to do so much for you. But if you have a really bad attitude about yourself, you feel really bad about yourself, it's very difficult to receive the things that God wants to give you. 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13. David said, he was king by then, "Is there anyone left to the house of Saul to whom I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" To me, that's equivalent to God saying, "Is there anybody that I can show kindness to for Jesus' sake?" You know, God doesn't, he's not always kind to us just for us. He does it because of what Jesus has done for us. "And of the house of Saul, there was a servant whose name was Ziba. When they called him to David, he said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he replied, 'Yes, I am.' The king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the unfailing, unsought, unlimited mercy and kindness of God?'" How would you like to have that unlimited mercy from God? Ziba replied, "Well, Jonathan, who was Saul's son, who also was in covenant relationship with David," and that meant a lot to them. "Jonathan has yet a son who is lame in his feet." Now you want to keep that in mind. "And the king said, 'Where is he?' And Ziba replied, 'He is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar.' Then King David sent and brought him from the house where he lived. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, fell on his face, worshiped him, and David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold, your servant.' David said to him, 'Fear not, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, your grandfather, and you shall eat at my table always.'" Now listen to this. "And the cripple bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am?'" He had a dead dog image. This was the grandson of the previous king, the son of Jonathan, who was in covenant relationship with David. And I'm sure he had to know that he had rights and privileges. I'm sure you hear, as you listen to the teaching of God's word, about your rights and privileges as a believer in Christ. But he had never gone to the palace to claim them, and it was because of the way he felt about himself. Is it possible that there are many rights and privileges that are yours through what Christ has done for you that you have never claimed because you feel you don't deserve them, because you don't feel good about yourself? I want you to take some time after this program and really do a deep dive and think about how you feel about yourself. What is your attitude toward yourself? Are you holding things against yourself from a long time ago? Today is a day to make a fresh start. "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said to him, 'I have given your master's grandson all that belonged to Saul and to all of his house. And you shall till the land for him, your sons and your servants, and you shall bring in the produce that your master may have food to eat. And Mephibosheth, your master's son or grandson, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, your servant will do according to all my lord the king commands. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. You know, that's what God wants for you. He wants you to eat at his table, so to speak, participating in all the privileges that Jesus died for you to have. I just feel today that so many of you are doing without so many things that God would love to give you, but you won't even ask because of the way you feel about yourself. You know, we feel like we don't deserve to have God do anything for us, and that's right, we don't. But Jesus deserved it in our place. And as we go to the Father in Jesus' name, we're not presenting to him all that we are presenting to him all that Jesus is. Now listen to this. The last verse, or last two verses. So Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in Ziba's house were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, even though he was lame in both feet. Now see, what I get out of that is he ate at the king's table, even though he still had flaws and weaknesses. And we need to realize that we're always going to have flaws and weaknesses until we're out of this fleshly body. And thank God for Jesus, and thank God that when we pray and ask God to do things for us, we pray in Jesus' name, not our own name. Do you know that our handicaps don't limit God, but we often allow them to limit us? God was willing, but Mephibosheth wasn't. How do you see yourself? As we see ourselves, so we are seen by other people. It's kind of interesting when you think about it, because however you feel about yourself, you project that image, whether you know that you do or not. And then that, like if you have no confidence, you'll project that, and then that will cause other people to have no confidence in you either. In Numbers 13, Moses had sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land to see if it indeed was as good a land as what they had been told. And when they came back out, 10 of the spies said, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants, and listen, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You see, there's biblical proof that however we see ourselves, that's the way other people see us. They didn't believe that they could defeat the giants. And so the giants already had an upper hand over them because you're never going to go beyond what you believe. Two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, came out and they said, we are well able to conquer it. Let us go up at once and do it. And that's the kind of spirit that God wants to see in us. He wants us to take action, not procrastinate. He wants us to believe that he's always with us and that we literally can do all things through Christ who is our strength. What do you have coming up in your future? Is it something you're afraid of, something that you're not capable of, something you're not up to? Well, maybe you're not, but God is. And so you be praying about it and let your confidence be in God, not in yourself. Don't even look back at your failures. You know, just because we failed at something in the past doesn't mean that we're going to fail at everything in the future. Then there's another man in the Bible who had what the Bible calls a limp. And I look at that again as a weakness. Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Very important man in the Bible. Had a limp away, had a limp. But you'll see at the end of this story that after he wrestled with God, even though he didn't deserve the blessings that he ended up getting from God, he limped away with his blessings. Genesis 32, 24 through 28. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. You see, Jacob had cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. Now Esau gave it up, which he had a problem too. He sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And the birthright in those days meant a lot more to them than what it might mean to us. It gave them a double portion of the inheritance, and they got the blessing of the firstborn. And that blessing was extremely important to them. It was a prayer that the father prayed over them for them to be blessed. And to give that up was really very disrespectful. And he did it just because he was hungry. But Jacob was always afraid of Esau after that. And so he had spent years running away from him, not even being aware that although Jacob was angry at first, that somewhere along the line he forgave him and actually would have liked to have had a relationship with him. So Jacob came to the point where he wanted to change. Are you at the point maybe in your life where you want to change? You know, before we can change, we have to come to the point where we want to. And before we can change, we have to be at the point where we're willing to face the truth about ourselves, not be blaming all of our problems on somebody else, but take the responsibility ourselves. You know, I was abused as a child, and I blamed everything on that for a long time. And God finally spoke in my heart, and he said, that's why you are the way you are, but don't let it be an excuse to stay that way. So let me just say to you today, if you've had a rough life, if you've had some unjust and unfair things happen to you, I'm sorry that you went through what you did. And I know that God hated to see you go through that pain, but he will use it for a good purpose in your life if you'll let him. So don't use it as an excuse for any kind of bad behavior. When the man, it's capitalized, who happened to be Jesus or his angel, the angel of the Lord, when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him, which gave him this limp. Then he said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing on me. Now, that to me sounds pretty bold. What do you think? I am not going to let you go until you bless me. You know, I understand that to a degree, because there have been some things that I've said to God. I've prayed and prayed and prayed about them, and I've said, I am not going to shut up until I see a breakthrough in this area. And do you know that God likes persistence? He likes persistence in prayer. And when there's something in the Word of God that tells you that you can have something, that something is yours, you have a right to it because of the blood of Christ, don't give up on it. Just because it doesn't come right away, don't give up on it. And if you've sinned, repent, admit it, talk to God about it, but don't let your past sins keep you from your present blessings. I believe it hurts the heart of God when he sent Jesus to do so much for us, and sometimes we receive so little. Get your eyes off of what you do wrong and get your eyes on what Jesus did right. Let me say that again. Get your eyes off of what you did wrong and on to what Jesus did right for you. He did it for you. And the man, once again, a representation of Jesus or his angel, said to Jacob, what is your name? Well, he very well knew what his name was, but he had a purpose here. And in shock of realization, whispering, he said, my name is Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. He faced himself. I've been a cheat. I've been a swindler. I've been a schemer. I've been a trickster. But he wanted to change. And God said to him, your name shall no more be called Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Don't always do it respectfully, but don't be afraid to press in with God and say, Lord, this is in your word, and I'm claiming it for myself. If there's something that I need to repent of, show me. If there's something that you need me to do, show me. But I am not going to give up on being blessed, because that's what you promise in your word. Some of you have settled. I know that in my heart right now. You have settled, and you just kind of have the, well, you know, I guess I'm just not one of the ones that God's going to bless. No, you listen to me. God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless you outrageously. He wants to do more for you than what you can even begin to imagine, but you need to begin to believe that he will do it for you, even though you may still have a limp. You can still eat at the king's table. Jacob limped, but he limped away with his blessing. And I like that. He had been a wrong man, but now he wanted to be a right man. And now he was going to come face to face with Esau, and he sent out some men ahead of him with gifts, really bribes, and trying to make peace with Esau. And Esau told him, you're my brother, and I don't need these presents. However he did it, he let him know he wasn't mad at him, and he wanted to have relationship with him. God blesses the outcasts and the limping ones, according to the word of God. Listen to this scripture. This is such a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Zephaniah 3, 17 through 19. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one. See, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You are the home of God. Wow. If you are a child of God, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, he sends his Spirit to live inside of you. You are a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent. Now listen to this. And make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exalt over you with singing. Wow. You know, have you ever had an argument with somebody and maybe you're trying to work through the situation and they said, well, I'll forgive you, but don't forget you did this and this and that and something else. Well, it kind of makes you feel like they're forgiving you, but they really don't want to. Well, I love this that it says, God rejoices over us with joy, and he doesn't even mention or recall our past sins. You know why? The Bible says that when we repent, when we admit our sins and we're sorry for them, and we're ready to turn around and go in a brand new direction like Jacob was, he was tired of doing what he was doing, and he was ready to meet with God and do it God's way. Are you ready to meet with God and do it God's way? When he did that and he received forgiveness for those sins, and let me say, by the way, some people ask for forgiveness, but they never really receive it. And what I mean by receiving it is they never forgive themselves. You could even, right now today, you could be believing that God forgave you, but you still won't forgive yourself. Let go of what lies behind and press toward the things that are ahead. I feel that some people are really getting help by this right now. When God forgives our sins, the Bible says he forgets them. Wow. And he moves them as far as the east is from the west, which nobody can figure out how far that is, but it's far, 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 far. And he remembers them no more. Stop talking to God about your past sins, because he doesn't know what you're talking about. He already forgot it. I know as a young woman in my 20s, just starting to go to church with my husband, every night I would bow by my bed and ask God, forgive me for my sins and make me a good wife and a good mother, and most of all, make me a good Christian, because I know if I can be a good Christian, then everything else will work out all right. That was my prayer every night. And I don't know how long I prayed like that, a long, long time, but one night I heard in my heart the Lord say, I forgave you the first time you asked me. Wow. So you see, the first time I asked God to forgive me, he forgave me, but I had not forgiven myself. And so I kept, the sins I was talking about was sins from my past. It wasn't even current sins. It was sins from my past. He says, I will gather those belonging to you, those Israelites in captivity, who yearn and grieve for the solemn assembly and the festivals, on whom their exiles and inability to attend services at Jerusalem have brought derision, and the reproach of it is a burden. Now listen to this. Behold, at this time, I will deal with all those who afflict you. Wow. Let God deal with your enemies. You don't have to do it. He will do it. I will deal with all those who afflict you. I will save the limping ones. If you're a limping one, God is saying, I'll save you. And I will gather the outcasts, and I will make them a praise and a name in every land of their shame. This is so good. You know, God wants to help those with special needs. He wants to help the abandoned and the forsaken, the forgotten, the abused, the rejected, the abandoned. He wants to help anybody who has been hurt. And you need to see yourself in a brand new way. You need to see yourself in what the Bible calls in Christ. Those two little words, air quotes, in Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. I don't present myself to God in Joyce, in my works, in my good record. I present myself to God in Christ. I come to him in the name of Jesus, presenting to him all that Jesus is. You see, Jesus took all your bad stuff and he gave you all his good stuff. And all he's asking you to do is believe it. Maybe you've never even believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. Well, you know, there's a number on your screen, and we would love to talk to you about that. If you're not a Christian, but you want to be one, if you want to have your sins forgiven, why don't you call that number and talk with one of our operators and tell them you'd like to know more about being born again. You'd like to know more about salvation. Don't put your confidence in who you are and what you can do and what you look like and what you own and where you work and what your job title is at work. Put your confidence in Christ. Philippians 3:3 says, for we Christians are the true circumcision, and we worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and we exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and we put no confidence our dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. Let me ask you a question. If you do have any confidence, or when you do have confidence, what do you put it in? What makes you feel the most confident? Is it when you think you look really good? Or is it when you win a game of sports you're playing? Don't get your confidence from anything that you do. Get your confidence from who you are in Christ. He lives in you, and through him, you can do whatever you need to do. He's your strength. He's your wisdom. The Holy Spirit is in you to guide you and to lead you. And even if you have to limp away with your blessings, you have a right to every blessing that Jesus died to give you. And I personally don't want to see you go without them not one more minute. Thank you so much for being with us today, and let this be a turning point in your life.
The first moments of your day are crucial.
I started early in the morning before I was even fully awake, thinking about myself. The enemy comes and starts putting thoughts in your head real early in the morning, and it's like he's getting you wound up for the day. You know, you don't have to take the bait. I used to get so wound up in myself and negative emotions before the day even started. Over the years, I've learned that even just a few moments with God can change the entire course of the day. That's why I wrote this book, Mornings with God, a devotional.
Mornings with God devotional gives you 365 days of inspiration for your time with our Heavenly Father. It features a focus verse for each morning and an encouraging confession to help you start your day off with the right attitude, even without coffee. Call us today at 1-800-331-8000 or visit us online at joycemeyer.org to request your copy.
Laying there in bed, thinking about myself. And you know, that's a dangerous way to start your day, because however you get started, that's usually the way things go the rest of the day. Well, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't let him steal a good day from you before it's even started. I believe it's important to at least say good morning to God before we do anything else. This devotional is the perfect way to do that. Even when you don't have a lot of time, you can read a devotion. Mornings with God is available when you reach out with a gift of any amount using the information on your screen. Your financial gift will join the support from the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries to make a real difference around the world, meeting physical and spiritual needs. Do your best and bless others while also starting your journey to a stronger relationship with God.
Mornings with God is available with your gift of any amount. And with your gift of $40 or more, you'll also receive The Beautiful Everyday Life, Psalms and Proverbs to help you deepen your daily time with God, as well as the Good Morning, This Is God mug. Call us right now at 1-800-331-8000 or visit joycemeyer.org to give and request these resources.
Encouragement, inspiration, growth. Sign up for your free subscription of the Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today at joycemeyer.org.
I can't tell you how many days I wasted being unhappy because things weren't going my way. It was all, what about me, what about me? I was miserable, and I made everyone around me miserable too. In my book, What About Me, I want to help you get yourself off your mind and find a new level of satisfaction that you never thought possible. It's time to get out of your own way and discover the power of an unselfish life.
What About Me by Joyce Meyer. Order your copy today.
3, 2, 1.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. We are so grateful to our Joyce Meyer Ministries partners who make this and all we do possible, including sharing God's Word and offering help to people in need all over the world. This program has been made possible by the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.